It's a Thursday and time for the latest Indiana farm news, markets, and weather. It's the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast, October 2nd, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Online, check them out at ffbt.com to learn more. CJ Miller joins me today with news, including Elanco's new world headquarters now open in Indianapolis and rapid soybean harvest in northeast Indiana. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast still has no changes. Harvest will carry on at least through Monday. And the grain and oil seed markets sold off yesterday before a turnaround by the close. Eric Pfeiffer checks in with numbers and Arlen Suderman market analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
As the saying goes, good things come to those who wait. But what if you don't want to wait? What if you want to pay for next year's seed order now? Then you're in luck, because if you pay for your order from Seed Genetics Direct before October 10th, they'll take 12% off. And you can pay your way with cash, check, or credit card. Just make that payment by October 10th and they'll take 12% off. So much for waiting around for good to happen. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct. Elanco Animal Health's new doors are open, and Indiana's harvest is now at full speed. I'm Andy Eubank, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Indiana's ag business footprint just became a lot larger. CJ Miller reports from downtown Indianapolis and the opening of a new global headquarters.
We've said, and I think to all your listeners, it's not about a building, it's what we are building.
That's Jeff Simmons, president and CEO of Elanco Animal Health. On Wednesday, the company hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony to officially open its new global headquarters, an investment of more than $200 million.
I want all the farmers out there to hear that, hey, this is just another example of confidence that we have in the future of what they do, and we're coming alongside of them to make their operations not just more sustainable, but economically sustainable for their generation. And this building represents the next 70 years. And our goal is to be alongside of Hoosier farmers for the next 70 years.
Simmons tells Hoosier Ag Today that part of the innovation from Elanco's new global headquarters will come from a partnership with Purdue University and the creation of the One Health Innovation District surrounding Elanco's new headquarters.
CJ, that's the key thing that excites me the most. Someone asked me, what are you most excited about today? I'm most excited about what we're going to create. And I think that, the farmers and the ag people of Indiana can understand this, is we're going to create an ecosystem. The next building that's going up is going to be Purdue University. And they're going to bring students and professors and the next generation of innovators. We're going to put a real-life vet clinic on here so we can practice medicine and actually do a Mayo Clinic and study.
Simmons also credits Elanco's longtime partnership with Indiana's farmers, ag leaders, and lawmakers for creating a thriving environment for Elanco.
Without question, this was done the Hoosier way, with the state, with the city, with the universities. And I just have to say, as a Hoosier, it was proud to have kind of a front row seat to this project, because it shows what happens every day across this state. The world and the country needs more of Indiana than they ever have, and we're going to show up and do that.
Check out photos of the new Elanco global headquarters at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Thanks for that update, CJ. Indiana harvest took a nice jump in the last week as corn moves to 16% complete, soybeans 24% finished. In a Channel Seed harvest update, Channel sales agronomist Chris Brazel, covering the northeast quarter of Indiana, says bean harvest pace is very rapid.
The unusually high temperatures, dry weather, it's accelerated pretty rapidly. Almost to a point where on our bean harvest, boy, we could use a spot of moisture here, just if for nothing else, for everybody to catch their breath and maybe take a nap and catch back up on a little bit of sleep and get some maintenance done. But and more importantly, get some moisture back up into these beans. We could use a little more moisture with the dry, warm weather that we're experiencing right now.
And although there is variability and there are exceptions, much of the bean crop coming off has been good in quality and size.
I know early on we were finding a little bit of those lima beans. That seems to have kind of subsided, and everybody's kind of getting pretty good quality. Other than, like I said, moisture is a little lower than ideal, but everything else looks pretty good. Bean size has been okay. We're not cutting marbles, but I would call above average bean size, especially where we're getting those upper 70s to mid 80s. On yields.
Bean yields range from the mid-40s to the mid-70s and even low 80s in some cases. Higher moisture in corn is keeping the focus on bean harvest for now.
Corn moisture is kind of hanging in there pretty good still. Seeing a lot of corn moistures in the mid-20s. So guys haven't really accelerated into corn harvest that much yet. But talking with some of our guys that have pulled off some of our channel genetics, have been really happy with what we're seeing. We're seeing some stuff on dry land in the mid twos, which is really encouraging. You know, we're going to need those yields to kind of help combat where our commodity prices are.
National corn harvest progress is at 18% and soybean progress now 19%. Hear all of Brazel's observations in the Full Hat and Channel Seed Harvest Update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at DirectEnterprises.com. That's DirectEnterprises.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Not making any major changes in the forecast here for your Thursday morning. Sunny, warm, and dry for today, tomorrow, the entire weekend as well now. As a matter of fact, we're watching our next weather system really get going in the northern plains on Sunday. That's when those folks see a 30-degree drop in temperatures with rounds of precipitation. But that low is lifting north and east a little bit farther to the west. What that does is it delays any impact from the associated cool front that's with it until likely overnight Monday night into Tuesday. So I'm extending the wide open window here all the way through Monday pretty easily. If there's going to be a delay in harvest across the Hoosier State, it will be Tuesday. That's when the remains of that frontal boundary kind of work through, and I think we can put in here anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation with 80% coverage across the Hoosier State. So gear up for that. I do think Tuesday is going to be wet. Back to strong high pressure sitting to the west over Iowa next Wednesday. That brings us dry weather for Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, and even Friday of next week. Things get a little more interesting as we hit into the weekend of the 11th and 12th, seeing a very large area of precipitation come out of the central and southern plains, moving through the Missouri Valley and central Illinois. I think it spreads across Indiana for the 11th, lingers into the 12th. Over the two-day period, we can see anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain across 100% of the Hoosier State, the way it looks right now. Plenty of time for this system to kind of evolve, change, and even change track, but I do feel confident that we see some kind of significant moisture and some kind of significant pause in harvest as we get closer to that 11th and 12th time frame. Behind that system, we do see colder air getting drawn down. The week of the 13th is going to be closer to normal on temperatures, even with a few below normal days Monday, Tuesday. But by the end of that week, we are back warm in a big, big way. Southwest flow in here. And as we've mentioned earlier in this season, looking back west, high pressure dominating the western third of the country, big upper level ridge. There's nothing in my mind that says we don't go back into another longer term dry pattern starting the 15th and going toward the end of the month. So we'll see how that comes together. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
The grain markets turn around and turn positive on Wednesday. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. It's brought to you by the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. They remind you that the crop you're harvesting isn't the most important part of the farm this fall. You are. Get home safe. Your family needs you. We'll have final numbers coming in just moments from Wednesday trade, but right now let's get market analysis with Arlen Suderman at StoneX. And Arlen, as we went through the day here on Wednesday, we were lower across the grain complex at midday, but something turned around as you and I speak now. We're headed the other direction, looking like a positive close. Let's talk about this soybean market first. That's kind of been the big swing here, that and wheat. What are we seeing in those markets that caused the turnaround here after midday?
Well, it was really strength in soy oil that drove things. And as we look at the soy oil market, it had reached a level of support on the charts. There simply wasn't there was a lack of willingness to sell lower, considering we're still anticipating a strong biofuel program. The recent weakness has been simply in the delays, and the shutdown, the government's probably just going to delay that much more. But soy oil did find a buy at that point. And so with many of the sellers on the sideline, and that helped support soybeans. Corn, on the other hand, again, was mostly technical in nature. We did a 50% retracement of the August low to the September high. That was an area of support on the charts. Selling dried up at that point when that support level held. And so we quickly saw buyers come back into this market. And I think we're trying to, in the corn market, trying to establish some type of sideways trading range. So does that mean this is the bottom of the trading range and the 430 level's the top? Only time will tell on that. And also kind of getting a feel for how much smaller is this crop? How much have yields shrunk here in recent weeks? That'll go a long ways toward telling whether this is the sideways trading range or not.
Arlen, again, earlier in the day, we were lower across the grain complex, and I think a lot of that was probably stemming from the USDA reports on Tuesday. Pretty bearish in nature. We kind of got over that pretty quickly, though, it seems.
Yeah, we did. And again, it comes down to the question of how much smaller is a crop. Some of the yield data that we're getting in now from farmer harvest reports suggests that we could see a significant reduction in the yield from what we saw in potential in August. That could quickly erase the 200 million bushels that USDA found in its quarterly stocks report. And I think the trade is kind of recognizing that here today after we bounced off chart support.
You know, it's interesting we talk about yields, and I know every year folks point to USDA, they disagree, there's no way that that's right, where are they getting these numbers from? But I feel like this year, it's even more so because of how far they've gone in this direction. As I talk to agronomists here in Indiana, I'm hearing, yeah, we've got some good stuff coming off right now, but this was the early planted stuff that is going to look good. We haven't gotten to the bad stuff yet. You just wait. Is that kind of where we're at right now, too?
It really depends where you're at in the Midwest and what kind of weather you face during the growing season. As far as whether the good early stuff was good or bad stuff or late stuff was good or vice versa or whatever. And also on the disease pressure, particularly in the Western Midwest. But when you look at the Northwestern Midwest, disease pressure was heavier, but where they treated the fungicides, they're having record yields on both corn and soybeans. So they're having a very good year. How it all balances out is going to be the key. We do anticipate we're going to see lower corn yields. Soybeans, I think it's still too early to say.
And at this point, that's where we're at with the market, right? We are basically trading what kind of harvest news we're getting here going forward for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and with the partial government shutdown, that means USDA furloughed nearly half of its employees. And so that means the crop scouts who were supposed to be in the field doing their field checks, developing their yield estimates for the October WASDE report. They're not doing that. So the WASDE report for October may not happen. We may have to wait till November to get USDA's update on yield projections.
Arlen, give me an update on livestock, where we are there. Cattle a little bit down today, hogs a bit down as well. But overall, cattle appears to be doing okay from the pricing standpoint.
It really are. As we look at the product market, there are some indications it may be starting to stabilize after the big drop that it's made. We know the supplies are tight. The feeder cattle market's really been driving things here in recent days. USDA Secretary Rollins posting on social media over the weekend, it kind of gave the impression that we're not going to see the border with Mexico open anytime soon. And that's just emphasizing the tight supplies we have. That's also been providing support for pork, although we had the quarterly hogs and pigs report showing the smaller hog supplies, but the market had largely priced in those expectations with record speculative ownership, and now we're seeing a profit-taking round.
That's Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX.com. On Wednesday, December corn up a penny, 416 and a half. March up 0.75 cents, 432 and 0.75 cents. Up over 11 cents on November beans to 1013, 1031 on January beans, up over a dime. December wheat up 1.25, 509 and a quarter. In livestock, October live cattle down 75 cents, 231.10, and October lean hogs lost $1.42 to 98.42. That does it for the Wednesday Farm Market Review and the Thursday Morning Podcast. Thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.